Well, hello everybody and welcome to Geek Actually Tech episode 1 for the 10th of February 2010, and boy, we're off to a shaky start.
Why did you not kill the mics in the intro? I mean, seriously, there's a loud blowing noise, and it's all because you didn't do it twice in a row.
Just before we started, I said, I'm not going to kill the mics this time. For those who are listening at home...
I have headphones on.
For those
That's
who are,
the way it works.
For those who are playing along at home, this is actually our second start on this whole thing. All right, let's see if we can get this started. First of all... We need some introductions here because this is a new show. Hopefully, well, actually, a lot of familiar faces in the chat room, but we will be getting new people along. I'm David McVeigh. I'm an ex-tech teacher, and I've fixed more computers, and I've had hot breakfasts. And across the table, I am joined by Josh Philpott. How are you, Josh?
I am fantastic.
And what's your geek cred?
Geek cred, as most people would know from our network, will know that I'm from platforms, and I... review and have a lot to do with games, but also I work as an IT personnel, so I hate everyone pretty much because, you know, you're all not as good at tech as, you know, most of the world.
Well, that's fair enough.
I think I just isolated half our viewers. Hi!
Hey, how are you? We're also joined for the first time on one of our shows, Mr. Shane Gregory. How are you, Shane?
Very well, thank you.
And what's your geek creds for us?
Well, I pretty much grew up using Apple. For a while, since the beginning, since black and white, black and green. From there, I pretty much used PC. I did a course in 3D graphics and animation for a few years. And I work in IT at the moment.
Excellent. Excellent. Now, what is this podcast all about? Is the big question. We already do Geek Actually.
I don't know. What is
we already do Geek Actually on Saturdays, which used to contain our tech section, mm-hmm. And
then we got too big.
Basically, the show's got too long. They got longer and longer and longer to the point where we actually decided that really that show was becoming incredibly film centric, and so we decided that we would just let it run as a film show. But over the last couple of weeks, I think Josh and I have been kind of missing being able to just kind of geek out, you know?
Yeah.
And so we decided that we would give it a test run and give a fly to see how this goes.
Run a pilot
and see what it's like just to allow tech to grow all by itself. There's a million tech shows out there, and so we've got kind of a competing field here. Mm. But I kind of thought that... this kind of came about from a conversation we were having. We were sitting there testing some equipment. We decided to run the cameras, and people actually joined us in the chat room, and we were just talking.
As we just messed around with tech.
Yeah, absolutely. Whoa, black screen. And I just thought, well, you know what? Why don't we do that? Why don't we just sit and have a conversation rather than try and compete with your Leo Laportes and so forth? We'll just offer our opinions on stuff and basically have a look at some... we're not going to cover huge amounts of news. We'll have a look at a few little news stories. And one of the things that I quite missed was looking at the smackdown of the companies with what we called our Great Internet Tech War. And so we'll probably bring a little bit of that back in this as well. But the most important thing, I think, any new listeners to this is that we are accessible tech. We're basically tech... for geeks and non-geeks. We're not going to get into programming or you know, as one person always says on another network I listen to, we're not going to get into that defragging stuff, you know. We're looking at real tech for real people and what's actually happening around in the world, because I think it is actually a fairly major thing at the moment, tech in general. Mm. Everybody is using it, from us right down to, you know, our moms and dads who would, you know, have trouble using the fax machine a few years ago. So we're going to look at accessible tech is what we're looking at. Now, we are going to cover all of our favorite things from the Geek Actually show, and we're also going to add a new section, which is the main body of the show, which is our open discussion. And we do encourage, we were going to post up before the show on the fan page and so forth at Facebook, what our topic will be, and we do encourage voicemails, et cetera, et cetera. So that you can all chime in on your opinions. I did actually put one out for this one, but this is such a new show that on a pilot, nobody's actually gotten back to us. But our topic of conversation today will be the iPad. Mm-hmm. It's kind of the topic of everybody's conversation at the moment. So,
Anyway,
with all this messing around and everything else that's been going on and how we started the show kind of shaky, just in case you're wondering, we do go out live, and that was always an interesting experience.
It makes the best of shows look really unprofessional.
It does. It really kind of leads us off into some tricky territory sometimes. But anyway, you can catch this show live every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. This is a Australian Eastern Daylight Savings Time, which is UTC plus 11 for our overseas listeners. I know it's an awkward time for the overseas listeners, but, you know, we all have lives as well, unfortunately. Mm. And this show will go out, as usual, for an audio podcast. It will go out on iTunes, but we haven't got the iTunes feed until we have a first show. So it'll be a few days before the first episode shows up on iTunes, but after that, it will be out every Thursday. Okay, now we also are setting up a new email address. At this point in time, it'll bounce, but it will be set up by tonight, which is geektech@geekactually.com, and that is the feedback email line for this show. If you've got any questions or requests or questions or anything you want to give us, just send it to geektech@geekactually.com, or you can leave us a voicemail at 02-8011-3167. I'll bring that up on screen for our people watching. There you go. So, yes, that's 02-8011-3167. That's a Sydney number for those who are outside of the country. All right, so we should kick off into some news,
yeah,
I think.
Why not?
And now some of our news is not necessarily in this last week, but because it's the first show, we're kind of digging stories up. But I think the biggest news to hit Australia in the tech world for, and it's kind of a major win for the geeks, is the fact that iiNet was taken to court by the Hollywood studios and so forth, basically saying that iiNet was aware that people were downloading movies and television shows on their network and did nothing about it, and so therefore they were as guilty as the people downloading. iiNet said, get stuffed. No, we're not. We are. The power company is not responsible for what you do with the electricity. They're just the supplier. Mm-hmm. And their argument is that they are just supplying the pipelines. They don't control what's actually going on. And the beautiful thing is, this week, they won. Now, this is a pretty major event because it's a slap in the face to Hollywood to start with, which has been going on a real problem for a while. But more importantly, it's kind of going to set precedent around the world. What do you guys think of this?
Well, I mean, I always think it's interesting to see a company like iiNet or something like that really been putting the firing lines, because, like, I don't quite get why iiNet, out of all the places in all the world that you could take an attack at, you would pick Australia's probably friendliest.
I know.
friendliest people. I also disagree with that because, I mean, a friend of mine actually got an email recently that said, warning, you have been downloading pirated stuff. Please cease immediately or we will cut off your account. So fuck it. They're doing stuff.
It's so interesting. According to the article on Sydney Morning Herald, actually, where they actually talked about this, they said that they have put out infringement notices, but they actually continue to stand by the philosophy that iiNet, according to quote-unquote, this is from the Justice Cowdery, so this is from the judge, iiNet is not responsible if an iiNet user uses that system to bring about copyright infringement. The law recognizes no positive obligation on any person to protect the copyright of another, which is where the key comes in. Yeah. It's not iiNet's responsibility to protect the copyright of the Hollywood films.
Yeah,
it's exactly the Hollywood films' responsibility.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think, Shane?
I mean, if generally speaking, if they're talking about like this to go about like torrents or something like that, I mean, everybody does it, they just don't admit it.
Exactly. Yeah, actually, the BitTorrent came into this discussion a lot. They basically said that it's, and I actually really kind of objected to this, but they were basically saying how it was, you know, they refer to the BitTorrent client like it's this horrible, nasty thing. And blah. BitTorrent is actually used for many legitimate purposes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know? And it's like, it's not the protocol's fault. Mm. Once again, it's blaming something that isn't at fault. Oh, blame the ISPs, blame the Torah.
Oh, they'll attack anything they can, though, because, I mean, the hard thing about the internet, ever since it's first, you know, started up and become what it has, is that no one has direct control of anything. Hmm. Like, I mean, ever since we came up with the concept of not hosting things on website and going free, no one is now responsible, so they will just continue to attack the largest sources they can to try and bring some justice to their department. But, yeah, I mean, this is no different from taping tapes or anything like that. It's just a new world, and therefore everyone gets more and more upset about it because it's much more visible than it used to be. Yeah. Like when it was tapes or videos or whatever, it was much more in-home. You know, like, I mean, whether or not you were distributing the stuff, it was all done through your house, and there was nowhere to track it.
Or in Bali.
But I mean, that was the thing. There was no way to track it, and now you've got the internet, and you can see these files moving in and out. That's just why this is more offensive to these people. Nothing's changed.
Nothing has ever changed, and that's the thing. We look at it and go. The bigger question, I guess, that goes around all of this, of course, is the pirating of television shows and movies actually affecting the bottom line of the studios and so forth? Mm. This is a raging debate. The studios say they're losing billions of dollars. I look at it from a point of view of myself, for instance, where I sit there and go, okay, I may download, putting myself into it, but I may download something once in a while, but 10-to-1 odds, whatever I've downloaded is something I plan to buy anyway.
Yeah,
and so they're still going to get it from me. And the odds are I probably saw it at the cinema already. And a good example of this, and I'm going to admit to a download, but a good example of this is I saw Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring, at the cinema twice. So they got my money twice. Okay, then I found a download of it, and I downloaded it. Then it came out on DVD. I bought the DVD. Then it came out as a special edition. I bought the special edition. So my one little download still got them 2 DVD sales and 2 cinema tickets. Mm. So I'm not entirely sure if this is... Okay, yes, there are people out there who are downloading and copying everything. Sure, I understand that. Yeah. But these are the same people who would have been buying their copies from Bali or owning 2 VHS players in the day and copying everything they rented. Mm. You got something?
Yeah, that movie is worth keeping anyway.
Absolutely!
Whether you download, whether it's Blu-ray, whether it's DVD... Mm. Yeah.
And they're going to get my money again when they release the collector's, the special edition cuts on Blu-ray.
Yeah.
You know, that's just the way it is. They're going to get it again. I think the biggest interesting part of this case is that our villain, and who actually won Villain of the Year last year, Stephen Conroy, boo, hiss, hiss, boo, he came out as the good guy. He actually came out, well, he actually said that he urges a discussion on the concept of file sharing. He's urging the studios and the ISPs to talk to each other to find out a solution. He never thinks this should have gone to court in the first place. Now, of course, logically, yes, I can understand him saying that, because if they lost, which they did, this is putting him in a very sticky situation. So, of course, he doesn't want this to go to court.
No.
But the point is that he's come out in the press basically saying that he wants a much more mature take on all of this, and he thinks that all of the way that Hollywood is handling it is wrong. Who would ever have thought he would be on our side?
Yeah. Don't believe it.
Don't believe it.
It's coming. He's just getting close enough to drive a knife in.
Okay, I'm going to quote Stephen Conroy here. According to Stephen Conroy, this is from news.com.au, he says, it's always disappointing when situations like this end up in court. I think that a mature approach by both the movie industry and the internet industry, sitting down, having a conversation, and coming up with a code of practice is the absolutely preferable outcome.
Mm.
It's a completely logical statement.
Yeah.
So I just think that Stephen Conroy, who has never proved himself to be logical in any way, shape, or form...
Someone else is obviously handling his PR.
Right, somebody else wrote that press release.
Yeah. He's written it out going, what the fuck is this?
All right, so the question, one last thing and then we'll move on. Question is, will... Zidog in our chat room has basically said, not all file sharing is illegal, I figure. And it's so true. Yeah. I mean, let's face it, Linux distributions go out using BitTorrent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not the BitTorrent protocol. For those who don't know what BitTorrent is, because we do have other people out there, it's basically a protocol that allows multiple points of access to one file. So, and multiple files can all serve on each other. So it basically, the more people who are accessing and the more people who are seeding, the faster the file becomes. Mm. Whereas in the older days of the internet, the more people accessing a file, it would slow it down. So BitTorrent has been a major plus in the ways of file sharing, but it's also been a major pain in the ass for television and film and music producers. There goes our explicit tag.
Oh, wait. Do we have an explicit
tag? No.
Oh, God.
We may have to now. All right. So next thing we're going to talk about, and this is actually probably going to lead us in a little bit to our major discussion, but we're actually going to talk about Steve Jobs a little bit here. And this kind of falls into the great internet tech war category here.
You really think we're going to get through a conversation about Steve Jobs without swearing?
Well, considering that I'm going to quote him here, and well, the quote has actually been misconstrued, apparently. Steve Jobs had what he calls a town hall meeting with the employees of Apple. So it wasn't actually external. It was internal. And apparently he does these quite often where he sits down with his people and they all talk about ideas for the company, et cetera, et cetera. And he basically said that, make no bones about it, Google releasing the Nexus One. Hey, there's your...
Yeah. Yeah, I like the name. Choice of name. Nice choice of name.
Good choice of name.
Awesome.
releasing the Nexus One phone in the States and so forth, they were trying to kill the iPhone. And there was, he said, that they are at war, and there's no doubt about it. And he actually said that the mantra that Google lives by, which is do no evil, was originally, was quoted as saying that the mantra don't be evil is bullshit.
Hmm.
But apparently that has been retracted, and he didn't actually say that. He actually said don't be evil is a load of crap, is what he said. He said that don't be fooled by them. They are trying to take the information of the world and so forth, and he said, let's face it, we were in a shooting war and there's a lot of competition out there and he doesn't plan to go down easy.
No.
A few of the things that he actually did say were and he also took shots at Adobe, and this is going to bring us to our discussion soon, but he took shots at Adobe basically saying the reason he doesn't have Flash on the iPod Touch, iPhone, or now iPad is the fact that he says that Flash is buggy as hell. It crashes devices. It's easily exploitable, and he hates it, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. And as far as he is concerned, everything that Flash can do will be able to be replicated and possibly more with HTML5, the new HTML standard. Mm-hmm. Now, HTML5 is a standard. It is being adopted by everybody, and he's basically saying, well, that's the standard we're going with. We're not going to go with Adobe's standard, will go with the open standard. Mm. And in some ways, I actually have to really respect that, because I have to respect for the fact that he's wanting to go with an open standard, but kind of pot, kettle, black?
Yeah, well, isn't I think it's difficult to weigh those two up. Like, I mean, neither of them are exactly awesome. Like, I mean, the amount of problems that there are with Flash is well abundant, if you ask anyone that has knowledge of it. So, I mean, I can... Even as a non-Mac user, I can respect that angle. I really can because, I mean, I'd say just wait for HTML5 because...
Yeah, look, I've got to say, they say you're not getting a full-featured web if you're searching the web on your iPhone and blah. I have to say, I don't miss Flash that much.
Mm.
Yes, it bugs me that there are broken symbols and stuff on a web page, and those are ads and so forth that might be worth watching. But so many people run their web browsers using programs like NoScript and stuff like that today. They're not seeing those Flash anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And all I can think is, if it's going to cause my iPhone to crash or lock up or anything else, or my iPad when I get it, do I really want that on there?
Nah.
Yeah.
I think it will start to get a little bit more annoying, I think, when we do get to the iPad. I mean, we'll bring that up later when we actually get into a discussion more. But the whole thing about the iPad is basically using it for web browsing. And if it's not capable of doing that, it actually will annoy me a bit because there's some programs I do use. Like, an example, I would imagine that what we're watching right now, the Geek Actually show, would be running through Flash, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but see, this is a funny thing because obviously the iPhone does support some form of Flash because there is a Ustream app that allows you to watch Ustream video. There is YouTube, which is all Flash.
No. I do understand what you mean, but like an example, like if I had the iPad, which is a 10-inch screen, I would more than love, if I wasn't on the show, to sit down and watch the show and type into the chat room. I can't do that.
You'd have to go into the app, and then you wouldn't have the chat room. Absolutely.
And I wouldn't have the chat room. Yeah. And that's something that I'm missing out on because they don't have that option.
What's interesting with that, though, is that even YouTube is developing an HTML5 version of their page. Now, theoretically, using H.264 encoding on the videos and all HTML5, which and you can actually look at that today. Apparently, there's a link somewhere on the page. I haven't actually tried it, but apparently there is a link on the page which says... check out the new page. Now, theoretically, if they're gearing up for this, they'll drop off the Flash support at some point, and YouTube will be HTML5, and that will be viewable through your iPads and your iPhones. Then, theoretically, all your other companies using the same basic technology, Ustream, Stickam, et cetera, will all start to use the same thing.
Like, getting back to the beginning, what you said before about Steve Jobs... is actually knocking back Flash in general, or Adobe is he knocking back as a company?
The relationship between Apple and Adobe has been tenuous at best for a while, and I think
that's being nice.
I think it kind of started because they used to be really in each other's pockets, and I think it kind of started. My guess to this is not based in fact, but my guess to this would be it kind of started a few years ago when. Apple released Final Cut, which undercut Premiere completely. Yeah. They then released, in the more recent years, Aperture, which was directly competing with what's Adobe's offering on that? Lightroom, and so forth. I think that there is hostility between the companies.
Yeah, because I think it's probably one of the most popular things that an everyday customer would look to purchase when they actually go out and buy a Mac. It's either Office... then it's going into Photoshop.
We get a lot of that.
And it's all on their website to buy. Apple's website.
Yeah, Apple, yeah. Look, as far as the Mac is concerned, Macs support Flash and Macs support all the architecture that is on all those things. That's fine. It's on their proprietary systems is what we're looking at. So Macs are much more open. So you go on your Macintosh, you can run Farmville in Facebook. And by the way, you guys get the new Facebook push yet on the new look Facebook?
I have heard that it's out there, but I haven't run into it yet.
Just got it today.
Yeah.
Don't like it? Not entirely sure about it yet. Digital Angel in our chat room and I were talking about it the other day. She just got it. And now I finally got it today, and I'm not entirely sure I like it. They're calling it their simplified.
I don't know. I kind of like the bar down the side.
Yeah,
I
me just, too.
Yeah, but anyway, look. We'll see.
I think Steve Jobs is – I think what we're seeing here is we are seeing open combat. I know when we had Natalie Del Conte on the show several weeks ago, she was saying it's more of a war of press releases. I think we're getting into a shooting war. I think we are getting into a much more open form of conflict. We're having Amazon and the publishers fighting like crazy because of the iPad's release. Or imminent release, because of the pricing structure. Recently, in the last couple of weeks, Amazon had a hissy fit over Macmillan demanding more money and removed all of Macmillan's books from their website, including their print books. I mean, it was literally, and they're feeding back on now, and everything's back to normal. And Macmillan won in that situation because, you know, all this did was showed Amazon to be a really stupid move on their behalf. Because Macmillan's going to get their variable pricing. And so we're seeing that. We're seeing Jobs taking pot shots at Google. We're seeing Jobs taking pot shots at Adobe. We're seeing Google fighting back because the Droid phone, which we've talked about on the show, on the previous Geek Actually show, Droid has the capability for multi-touch. But in the U.S. market, they had it deactivated. And so you didn't have multi-touch on the Droid. Now, from what everybody is saying, there's no official release on this, but what everybody's saying is that Google and Apple kind of had an unspoken kind of agreement. Apple basically had said to Google, don't challenge our patent. We won't take you to court. Just don't put multi-touch on the United States versions of the phone. European versions of the Droid had multi-touch. Now, with Jobs coming out and saying this sort of stuff in this last week, the Droid update software has just gone through and they've activated multi-touch on the phones in America. So we're seeing all these companies jump on each other, and this is where we come to that point that I was talking to Josh about the other day, which is who would have thought it? Who would have thunk it that we have Microsoft sitting on the sideline, not being part of any of this, basically saying, can I play?
They really are the annoying little ugly kid that's obviously underprivileged. Like, I mean, that's basically what Microsoft is right now. Their programs, like, I mean, apart from Windows 7, they've got an Office version, which is 07.
Yeah.
They've got... they've got
10's coming out this year, though.
Fantastic. It's still not out. Okay, it's still 07.
We've got Surface technology, which they've been talking about for a zillion years, and really we have nothing major in the wild.
No, we have Xbox, which is failing.
We got Zooms.
We've got Zooms, which is failing. You know, Zoom not failing for any particular reason. It's just that
nobody's buying them.
It's just no one's buying them. So they are literally losing out. They're being ignored, and this is their problem, is that
It almost seems to me that Microsoft, for the first time in a very, very long time, isn't being seen as evil. It's like everybody used to complain, you know, oh, Microsoft, they're evil. But they're just on the side. They've been sidelined. They have literally been sidelined, and they are worth, the company Microsoft, I think in last statement, was worth more than Apple and Google combined. And yet these upstarts, I say upstarts, I think Google's worth like $170 billion at the moment, but these upstarts are basically ruling the roost at the moment. Microsoft's, it's like they've, Microsoft's had the balls cut off or something. It's unbelievable. It's a really, really strange thing. Anyway, well, who knew we would see it? Okay, we've got one last little bit of news, and then we're going to move into our topic of the week, which is the iPad, of course. But my pages are all out of order here. This one just caught my eye. It's a very, very short story. Here it is. News.com.au is reporting that the internet has been nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize. I just love that. Will the internet get up and accept its Nobel Peace Prize if it wins? That's what I would like to know.
I tell you what, I would imagine that any sort of viral site like 4chan or something like that will definitely try to get up and accept that award.
I mean, that's the question though. If it does win, who actually accepts it? Mm. There is no Mr. Internet.
That's a good point.
I guess maybe they just hang the award in the United Nations or something. I don't know. I mean, what?
There's no.
It says here that Wired Magazine's Italian edition says it nominated the internet for promoting dialogue and democracy. It says the 2003 Nobel laureate Shirin Ebadi has signed the nomination. The Nobel Committee keeps nominations secret, but there are no restrictions on nominators. So there you go. He's up against the jail dissident. I'm not even going to try and pronounce that Chinese name. And the Zimbabwe Prime Minister, Morgan, I'm not going to try and pronounce that name either, have also been put forward. So he's up against, the internet. Mr. Internet is up against some formidable...
The internet is such an interesting thing to raise because, I mean, seriously, if it's anything like Time Magazine's thing, if you open things up to the internet, nothing goes right.
No. I like, did you...
As much as the internet is full of, sort of resources and a limitless amount of knowledge of which will continue to constantly grow and meld, it's full of retards and they will act like retards.
Sidog in our chat room says Sidog for the Peace Prize. Okay, we'll put you up, we'll nominate you. Okay,
I was just curious to find out who or what is actually going to accept it.
I reckon, fuck someone accepting it. They'll just erect a statue somewhere in the world and be like, that's for the internet.
Yeah. Statue of what?
A really greasy nerd. A really greasy nerd leaning over a computer typing.
Oh, I like that.
could be just like a big inbox saying, you've got mail here.
A big at symbol. Our chat room, everybody's nominating themselves now.
Forget you guys aren't important enough. Let's move on.
Oh, that's a really profound question. Popshotter said, really, where does the net start?
Oh, God, no. I've been on this conversation more than once, Popshot. It's not worth trying to figure that answer out. There are so many places you could put it down to.
Okay, now we are going to have a look at our topic of the week, which is, of course, the Apple's release of the...
I'm just kidding, guys.
Apple's release of the news. I say news because we haven't actually released anything yet, but their news of the impending release of the iPad. Mm. Now, let's talk about feeding frenzy. Let's talk about nothing had actually been announced. No, in fact, Apple hadn't even said they were making a tablet. And in fact, if you go back a couple of years ago, Steve Jobs said Apple had no interest in making a tablet. And yet, for some reason, for the last 12 months, we've had this feeding frenzy building that Apple's going to release a tablet. Apple's going to release a tablet. Apple's going to release a tablet. If they hadn't announced a tablet at the end of January, I think there would have been riots in the streets if it had gotten to that level. And, of course, on January 20, whatever it was, Steve Jobs hit the stage. 27, thank you. 28th our time. Steve Jobs hit the stage and announced the iPad. Probably the single worst name He could have given a tablet.
Come on, we gave him the name. We said iTablet, you know.
There was iTablet, iSlate. I was actually kind of hoping they'd drop the I, because it's kind of old news now. It's 10 years old, that
monitor. Yeah, but it's brand association, man. You put I in front of it, people will buy it. Mm. But I thought iSlate was the best name. I like
the slate. Mm. Although I have to say, if you put a second D on it, so a PADD, it would have been a real nod to Trekkies all around the world. Because, of course, in Next Generation, they all carry around the pads, you know, the Trekkie pads. And I thought that would have been a really nice nod to the Trekkies, but they didn't. Now, there have been numerous articles written about the jokes to do with sanitary napkins and all the other feminine hygiene products and the pad. Mm. I think eventually we will get over it. If we remember back 2 years ago, I don't think anybody took the name Nintendo Wii seriously either.
Or iPod, to be honest. The amount of jokes that we all pulled out of iPod until it just, you know, sort of washed over the entire world and it just became, you know, it was impossible.
Eventually it becomes standard. And this will also happen. Mm. All right, so what do we think of this? What do we think of this device?
I'm excited. I've been talking to people for ages about the concept of the pad, because what the pad represents is more than just it's more than just the concept of a bigger iPod to me, right? Mm. Like, I mean, I had played with iPods before, iPhones. We'll go straight to the iPhones. I had played with the iPhones before, and I'd used them, and I said that was pretty cool. It wasn't until I kind of inherited an iPhone and actually started using it on a regular basis, you really realize that apart from the one missing feature, which is multi applications at once, it really is such a simple idea. It's also the idea of, like, I mean, people constantly rag on that, but the thing is, once you start using it, you realize that even the iPod, it's like just closing a window. It's just you've got to reload it. So save what you're doing before you exit. It's not that complicated.
And most of the apps actually save themselves as they close anyway.
Exactly. And it was more than just that, though. It was like when you started to use the system the way that they use it, you start realizing that by shutting an application before you start the next one, your computer or phone doesn't start running like a dog every time you've got too much open, and then you have to reset your thing. What does this sound like? PC?
Yeah, absolutely. And I was actually listening to, I think it was This Week in Tech, actually, and they were talking about the Nexus One and the Droid, which the Android system does allow multitasking. But they were saying that the problem with it is you forget that you've got other stuff open, and you'll end up with 10 applications open before you even remember, and it's sucking the battery away.
Dude, not only the battery, man. My friend has an HTC phone, and seriously, a couple of things open, it starts running really slowly, and it becomes back to the original argument, which was the tech argument of the fact that give people the ability to do more than one thing at once and they'll fuck it up. Hmm. Like, I mean, it's that honest. That is exactly how it is.
What's the famous tech saying? Picnic? Problem in chair, not in computer.
But, like, I mean, it really comes down to that when you actually look at it. It's like there are a lot of people that have instantly jumped on the bandwagon of hating the iPad, because you were talking to me recently about the article that was released saying that before it happened, it was what, 40?
Yeah, I've actually got it here. It's where is it? It's here it is. The study on Tech Insider from PC World magazine basically says he titles the article "The More You Know, the Less You Want One," and basically he said that a study was done by Retrievo, an online marketplace for consumer electronics. They did a study just before the announcement, and according to this study, it actually said that 25% of people who were studied actually said they weren't interested. Mm. Then, after the announcement, 50% said they weren't interested.
Yeah, and it really scares me, because on a shop floor level, and Shane will be able to back me up on this, it's really interesting when you talk to people about the iPad, because they have no idea why they don't want it. Mm. Seriously, every customer I talk to has the exact same thing. They're like, oh, the iPad, that's going to be stupid, right? And I look at them and I go, why? Why is it going to be stupid? Mm. And they're just like, well, it's just a big iPhone. I'm like, and that's the best idea they've ever had. It's like the iPhone, bar from the ability to type up documents and bar from the ability to be annoying as hell if you have to go to a full-size web page, is one of the smoothest experiences you can use for doing anything you need to do on a daily basis. I use it for the internet. I use it for checking my mail. I use it for my Facebook. I use it for, like, I mean, if it was the phone application, I could use it as a phone. I use it for gaming. You know, like, all of these applications, media, it's all in there, and it all runs quickly.
Absolutely. And I'm just finding a sample for us so that we actually have a sample here. So, yeah, this is your basic little iPhone here. Now, I actually had the model of iPhone that you're running right now, and I would say that if you were running a first generation or you were running a 3G, an original generation 3, oh, there you go, an original generation 3G, I would actually say, and that's all the experience you had had, I could imagine you saying, why do I want a big version of that? Mm-hmm. However, on the release of the 3GS, which is what this one is, they doubled the processor speed. Mm-hmm. And this thing is as snappy as hell. And the changing of apps, you don't notice multitasking. Mm-hmm. And I maybe I'm alone on this, but I don't notice multitasking because I sit there and I'm playing a game and I need to do so. I need to check my mail. I hit the home button. The game drops out. I hit the mail button. The mail pops up. There's no wait time, right? It pops up. I check the mail. I hit the home button, drops back down. I hit the game, and it comes back to where I was, you know, as if you know, it had been running in the background. No problem. Now, the iPad has upped the processor again. It's got this new what's it called? The A4 processor.
The A4 processor.
Custom silicon.
Custom silicon processor.
Custom silicon.
It looks
beautiful.
Brilliant.
Beautiful.
Exactly.
Now, every report I've read, and I believe Digital Angel in our chat room will also concur with this, where they say, you really don't know about the iPad until you've actually used it. Because you can look at him, you can see him using it, you can look at all the pictures of it, but it's the actual feel of this machine in your hands. They said it is so snappy that you literally click, you actually literally tap on an icon and the program is open.
Yeah, they say that, I was reading somewhere that a journalist was saying that it had
Digital Angel said, hell yeah!
they were actually saying that by the time you've touched it, before you even pull your finger away, it's fully loaded.
Yeah, look, this thing knows what you're going to do before you know what you're going to do.
Exactly. It's sometimes to a negative effect when you're running through too fast and you open up the wrong program. But look, I mean, the thing is that I think people really have to get over the fear. Like, I mean, I admit that, you know, as a PC user, it is difficult. But if you separate it and segregate it from the idea of owning a Mac computer, you're not. You're owning a device. And this is even different to a phone. I know that there's going to be SIM versions of this. They've already announced that. You know,
I'm not interested in those at all.
Exactly. I have no interest in it because it's not a phone.
No.
Like, I have a phone.
And
this isn't even my phone. 3G
data is slow as hell. There's no doubt about it. And yes, there's a convenience to it. I've got a 3G data card in my netbook. Mm. And yeah, every now and again, I may need to do something. But it's as slow as hell, right? Mm. And why pay the extra money? Now, I don't know what Australia is getting plan-wise. Whoa, black screen. I don't know what Australia is getting plan-wise. But in America, they're actually doing them unlocked and no contracts, which is that's the best way to do it. They're basically, you're paying $15 a month or something like that for the SIM data, and if you decide you don't want it, you can turn it off and turn it on at will, right, through AT&T. Yeah. I doubt any Australian company is going to do this.
No, of course not.
Not a chance in hell. They're going to put you into a 24-month contract. They're going to, you know, it's going to be outrageously expensive because we don't have, they're talking over there, $15.99 a month, unlimited data. Mm-hmm. Not a chance in hell we're going to get a plan like that in this country.
I mean, as soon as before it comes out, you'll hear the big telco companies, Optus, Vodafone, Telstra, fighting to get people to go on the contract.
I want a Wi-Fi one. That's what I want.
And 3G, you know, saying that you can buy it somewhere else and bring it to them.
Now, did you guys actually watch the Steve Jobs announcement? Did you watch?
I didn't watch it live. I've watched parts of it.
Certain parts.
So, what did you think of his presentation on this thing?
I don't like Steve Jobs, so don't ask me.
Okay,
ask Shane.
Shane, what did you think?
I thought it was quite good.
The only problem I had with it was that he almost looked like he was getting a little bit lost in his own toy.
Yeah.
They had a couch set up on the stage, and Steve Jobs would... I should have tried to dig up some video for this. Steve Jobs, although today, maybe not. Steve Jobs would say, let's do a demo of this, plugged it in, sat down on the couch, and started to play, and he'd sit there going, yeah, isn't this nice? This is kind of cool. This is very nice. And he'd sit there going, okay, there's an audience out here.
No.
Stop playing with the iPad. Come and talk to us, you know. But from what the demo he showed, which is a live feed off the device itself, it looks fantastic. It looks snappy, and the features that they put into it, As opposed to the iPhone. The photo handling is like iPhoto. They've actually got the stacks on photos, and it's just beautiful. I mean, it looks fantastic.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, if you compare how good that would be compared to, like, a Microsoft presentation.
Oh, well, that's
it. You
get a blue
screen before you get a demo of
anything. Apples and oranges. He would have gone, let's demo this. Yeah, it's died.
I have to say that, and I will never like the way that Apple comes across, because I don't like the hip, nice guy thing. Like, I mean, a tech presentation to me is tech presentation. I want to know specs. I want to know details. I want to see how fast it runs. I want to see it doing things which push it to its limits, right?
I'm going to counter that and say, here, that's actually the main point of this entire thing, though, which is somebody brought this up. I think it may have been the Leo Laporte. It could have been one of the high-enders. It could have been Buzz Out Loud. One of them actually said, this is not a computer.
Yeah.
This is not for the – this is not for the geeks. He said, this is for mom and dad. He goes, for all intents and purposes, this is an appliance.
Oh, yeah. Dude.
And I think that is such a great way of putting it.
I completely understand that. And that's not what I mean by that. What I mean is, if you're going to show it off, like, the way that they did the presentation bothered me. Like, the fact that he was sitting on the couch, right? Whose stupid idea was it to organize it that way? To have him sitting on a couch going, oh, yeah, yeah. And
he does have a 40-foot screen that's actually showing what's happening on the computer.
Yeah, I know, but just to have him locked into that, like, I mean,
very Jobsian thing to do.
Exactly. Like, I mean, like having it held up, showing people via, you know, what it's going on. Like, I mean, just to have the camera behind Steve Jobs looking at the screen while he branches through, as it was said by people that were actually at that event, you have no idea in that presentation what it's like until they got their hands on with it.
Absolutely. And that's all the journalists that I've heard talk about it say that after the event they had a room full of them and they were allowed to go back and manhandle them and play with them, and they all came out after that and said, oh my God. Yeah.
It's when you got the different people that were checking out what version of the OS was lifting
that's
it up.
Everybody was trying to get into the about screens and stuff to find out what was going on. And as they found out, it was actually iPhone software 3.2, which is a version of the iPhone software that the iPhone won't get.
I mean,
iPad only.
The thing that's going to interest me the most when it actually does arrive is what they're actually going to target. Is it going to go towards the netbook side? Is it going to be?
I actually think it's a whole new audience. This is what they're banking on too.
Here's
an idea:
still
get
like
rid of
say,
the netbook here.
Exactly. Look, don't worry, man. Don't worry. It's on its way out.
MacBook Air is going the same place that the Apple Cube went to. Yeah. Okay.
down a hole that none of us can see the bottom of. Yeah. Where it should be. What I'm going to say though is, I think it is, in some respects, has the ability to wipe out the netbook. That's what I'm hoping. Like, I mean, I've talked to people way before this came out, and I had no idea it was going to be 10-inch. I had no idea what the Isolate was going to be like. But the concept of a pad is definitely the reason that I wanted this. Like, as much as people can mock me for thinking that the, you know, things in Star Trek were cool, they are an incredibly functional device, right? I was watching I've been looking through the programs that they're releasing. I've been looking through the brilliant software that they're bringing, the iWorks software that's going to be available for
amazing.
It. Amazing. Keynote. I was watching Keynote, and it had something open on one of the screens, which was like tabbed up the top, and it was like invoices, graphs, and so on and so forth. Can you imagine?
Oh no, you're thinking of numbers. The spreadsheet programs.
That's right. And just it had all of the tabs across the top, and basically all of them were numbered, and all of it had graphs and beautiful things. It's like, can you imagine opening your inbox as a business person? Right, you wake up in the morning, you pick this up off your table like you would the newspaper, you grab it, and it's like, here's today's figures for the company, and you just go, boom, it's all open. There's no opening different emails with different products. It's all in one snappy presentation. It's all handheld, zoom in, zoom out. That is the future of what we want computers
to do. About it. You pick up the one device. You've got the emails, you've got your invoices and everything that come in via numbers. You have a subscription to whatever newspaper it is that you want. You're getting the full digital version of that newspaper come through. So in your one device, you've got your newspaper for the morning while you drink your coffee. You've got your work going on. If you can't handle the touch screen on-screen keyboard, It has an attached keyboard that you can plug into it. Mm-hmm. And one of the features that I thought was really cute was, as they demoed this on the Steve Jobs thing, where they actually said, when sitting in its dock, you can actually allow the screen to stay active and it'll actually run slideshows. So basically it becomes a digital photo frame. Mm-hmm. So while you're not using it, you just stick it up on the dock. You've got your digital photo frame going. Now, let me tell you, some 10-inch photo frames out there cost more than this iPad does. So, you know, you sit there and go, that's an interesting thing as well. You've got your photo frame.
Well, if anybody's watched the not the presentation video, but the other one that's available
on the Apple site. Great.
You watch Up running live on that screen. Yeah. That is just amazing. This thing is capable of 720p. Running on a 10-inch screen, and it can run for up to 10 hours. Give me one product that can do that.
The battery life was the most amazing thing. The fact that he goes, it's got a 10-hour battery, I kind of went, oh, really? He goes, 10 hours of video watching.
Yeah.
That is awesome. It's got a, what is it? It's a, how many days was it standby? 40 days standby or something?
I don't believe that for a second.
No, but that's that's no use at all. But the point is, you have your laptop, and I can talk from my MacBook Pro here. If I don't turn on my MacBook Pro in a week, the battery's dead, and I've got to recharge that battery up before I'm going to be using this thing. So having that sort of standby time on that is amazing. You know,
I love the fact that it's got, it looks to anyway, on the outside of the thing. I actually haven't, you know, been able to hold one yet, but there's the little power button that you get on the sides of the MacBooks that has a little light-up LED runner.
That's right, it's a little battery level. That's fantastic.
Yeah, that's going
to
be awesome.
I'm really curious, and if anybody in the chat room knows the answer to this, I cannot find an answer. On the side of the device, if you look at the Apple pictures, now all we've got is
three holes.
The three holes along that side. What are they? They're not USBs. They're not. Well, I'm suspecting they might be speakers, but I'm not sure what they are. There's these three.
Well, dude, it makes sense because if you look at the bottom of your iPhone,
there's two little speakers.
Yeah, and they're around about. If you looked at it, you know, and thought, well, this is going to be slightly bigger.
It's going to have bigger speakers, hopefully.
Yeah, so
it could be speakers.
I would say speakers.
And the other question I had with this device was, why doesn't it have an SD card slot or some other? Why, you know, you could have even got away with putting in one micro USB slot on this thing.
But why would is it? Why does it need it? That's the thing.
I'm thinking for the iWork feature. Okay, it would be really nice to be able to synchronize your files onto an. And now, theoretically, you're going to be able to do this via Wi-Fi because they are saying
that's what I was. About
unlike
to say.
The iPhone, it's actually going to have a share folder on board, so you'll actually be able to upload and download files into this share folder. However, we all know from experience that syncing over USB is so much faster than syncing over Wi-Fi. I mean, let's face it, Josh, you and I in particular, we look at it, we go, we got a lot of comic books and stuff like that. Yeah. We might want to sync into this thing. I could easily sync 3.5 gigabytes of comic books onto this thing, and it's going to be a lot faster to do that over USB than it is over Wi-Fi.
I had an idea as well. Wonder why the device, why they didn't possibly consider having a mini display put out for it as well.
Well, theoretically you won't need a mini display port because it'll actually
have the dock connector.
There is actually a video out on the dock
connector. You know how in my room I've got the white cable sitting beside my TV? It'll use the same cord.
I was just about to say if a person was coming in for a presentation
for a conference or something,
Click it in.
Digital Angel has confirmed. Digital Angel's actually held one of these devices in her hand. And she confirms that they are speakers.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there you go. It is nice having a bit of insight.
Thank you, Digital.
The Apple products have conceitingly got better, and it's interesting because I look at the PC friends that I have now, right? And the thing that I find funny is they have become the Mac people from 20 years ago, the ones that used the Mac and said, this is a brilliant product, but wouldn't, you know, accept the PC world that had, you know, obviously expanded past them. And it's interesting because if these people use this on a regular basis, you would watch this fall apart, and it slowly is dripping away that, you know, we have this kind of like, we still have the PC Mac war. And look, my PC can still do things that my Mac can't. But for everyday use, they've got them beat. And this is why you're seeing such a shift towards that. And this is why I'm thinking the appliance is the perfect word for it, because this could be the machine that tips the average user.
There's always been – there's a very simple answer to the entire the entire Mac PC argument, there's always been a very simple answer to everything, which is it's all about what you need your computer to do.
Yeah.
If you are interested in the creative arts, then your Mac is probably going to be a better suited computer to your PC. Mm. If you are a gamer or you are involved in business, you're probably going to need a PC because the Mac is weak in those areas.
Yeah,
you
know? Absolutely.
And it's all about what you need that device to do. That there is a convergence between these machines like no other time in history. For 20 years, there's been a Mac versus PC issue. Nowadays, these PCs and these Macs are so compatible with each other in almost every way that both my Macintoshes have full Windows partitions running Windows, in their case, is Windows Vista, natively.
Yeah, but I think it branches so much further than that. Like, I mean, I'll get Shane to put in on this one, but... when you have your average person in the store now, computers wise, it's always the same situation because you, 10 years ago, people were buying the one computer for the household to support everyone, and it needed.
I remember those days.
Yeah, and it used to be about getting that computer for every functional purpose that the family would need. Right now, it's individual sales. And the computers are branched off into two worlds. Like, I'm talking PCs. You have your high-end PCs that support the gaming and business people, and you have this entire sea of incredibly cheap computers that even you and me boggle over now and go, that computer is better than my one.
Yeah.
And it does, you know, it's $500 now.
But you even go into the high-end PC world, and I look at the current range of Macs that are out at the moment, and I go, those are so much more powerful, and they're cheaper than what I paid. You know?
Exactly. And that's what I find interesting, because people are coming in with a different sort of thing. This is the generation of people that bought that one computer for the family, or had the family buy them the one computer, and they're now having to come out and buy that second computer or something like that. And they only want it for functionality. And this is something that's never happened before, because it used to be a matter of having to sell that person something that would survive 3 years. Because under the Windows systems, it was like, will this computer be able to run programs in a year's time? We've totally changed the way that we do that. And I think the iPad could really change that as well, because...
I think the iPad is the perfect intermediary device. It's what Steve Jobs basically said. He said, there's the iPhone and there's your computer. This is what's falling in the middle here. This is, it's not replacing your computer. The iPad will never replace your computer. But what it is you can have your decent computer that you don't have to take on the road now and get it damaged or what have you. But what you can have now is you have the computer at home or at the office or both, and then this is the device you carry on the bus between those two places. You know, where you can check your mail, read a book, you can do whatever you want to do, and it's light and it's easy and it's you know, fun to use. It's also the device you can sit on your couch at the end of the night, sitting on the couch surfing the net or reading a book or checking your photos or doing whatever,
watching
it is,
TV
or playing a game. And this comes down to the last things we'll talk about this, which are some of the features of this machine. One of the things that I think is a stroke of genius on the behalf of Apple is to make it 98% compatible with all the iPhone apps.
That is the best thing that they ever did.
It's brilliant. They tapped into an ecosystem that they have cultivated into, what is it, 4 billion apps sold now? Or 4 billion apps downloaded, I should say. A lot of those are free. Now, of course, a lot of these apps are not set up for this 10-inch screen, and when you actually do enlarge them for the full-size screen, they get a little bit jaggy and so forth, but things are going to be rewritten over time. As somebody said, the ultimate thing that a developer could do is to write both versions into the same package. So when you buy it, you actually, if it's installed onto your iPhone, it'll play one way. If you install it onto your iPad, it'll play the other way. It makes sense. Makes the programs a little bit bigger. But, you know, really, in the great scheme of things, who cares?
I believe some of the game designers that will be working on games for the iPad as well have said that the SDK is actually very easy for them to create games.
And
they have a lot of creativity.
Well, and they demoed, they demoed that first-person shooter. What was it called?
Nova.
Where they demoed it, and it's full multi-touch first-person shooter. This is sweet.
Oh, maybe it wasn't that one.
I don't think it's Nova. I can't remember what they called it. But
is it a new one, or was it a one?
They've got one already out, but this is the new version that's coming out for iPad.
And then it might be Nova. Nova is the most popular one, I know that.
All right, well, this one, basically, they've added all this multi... Because now they said, we've got the real estate now on screen. So now they can actually put all those multi-touch features in there they couldn't do on the little screen. Things like you go to the door, you actually touch the screen and turn the door handles and stuff like that, you know? It's just, and they're demoing it up on the big screen. You just look at it and go, that looks awesome.
I mean, the video that I saw of that was EA who's going to be doing the next Need for Speed shift for the iPad.
They demoed that as well.
Saw him changing the shifts.
Yeah.
Shifting gears and
it's
stuff.
It's very sweet. I mean, that's the thing. And that's one of the problems I have with the iPhone. I mean, it's a lovely game machine and it plays really nicely. But it is fiddly. It is little, you know? Yeah. And because the screen is actually really nice size, but on like a PSP, for instance, you've actually got the controls off the screen, off on the side. So you've got the nice screen, but your controls are here. So when you're putting the screens on touchscreen, you're actually taking up real estate on what's already a fairly small screen.
I
kind of
see what you mean, but like for someone like me, like I've got really into trying to run the first-person shooters on these because I wanted to, like, the whole thing is I originally was against the concept, but when I actually sat down and thought about it, it was the same concept I have when I moved from doing PC gaming to console gaming. It was the idea that I had a controller instead, and I was like, I can't use this. A mouse keyboard's way better than this. Yeah. And I just ran that through, and I'm like, no, I'm not going to be that guy again. I'm not going to wait 5 years to try and pick up and learn how to do this because I'm angry at the idea. So I started getting used to it. And what you find with most games that require multi-touch to play, like Nova or any Call of Duty or anything like this, is they'll allow you customizability for the controls. And if you put both control sticks in the bottom corner of the screen, you barely even touch on your own screen above there. So, I mean, look, it's workable.
And you've been playing a lot more gaming than I have. So.
Me? Playing games? What's wrong with you?
All right, so we're about to run out of time. We're coming to the end of the show, but really, what do we think about the pricing on this?
I'm holding my breath until I see what it's going to be.
All right, well, we know what the American pricing is, starting at $499 for the base 16 gig model. I think the sweet spot is the 32 gig model myself, and then there's a 64 on top of that. And then, of course, it's an extra $130-odd or something like that for the for the 3G version, which I don't think is necessary.
Yeah, I think if they were playing it smart, it would have to be at least cheaper than the entry-level MacBook, which is about
$1,300. No, I think I totally disagree. That. It's going to have to be a lot cheaper than the MacBook. Like I was saying to somebody, I think there's a tipping point, and the tipping point is going to drop in around about the $600 to $700 Mac. If you make the lowest entry version more than $600 to $700, it won't sell here.
Because, I agree.
Yeah, like I think if you went above $750, people aren't even going to look at it. It's different to an iPhone. It's a product that is netbook worthy, right? Mm-hmm. Now, people will pay more for it because it's an Apple version of a netbook, basically, usability-wise, what it's capable of. It can do the things a netbook can do. If you drop it over that $800 mark, people are just going to look at it and go, $800, or I could get a, MacBook for $1,200.
I think it's going to be $800 somehow. I think it's going to be, let's take the 16 gig model, for instance, it's $499, take into account the exchange rate, take into account that extra Apple tax tax we seem to get here in Australia, which the Americans don't seem to get. I think we're looking at $500, we're looking at exchange rate, $550 possibly. I'm thinking $600 for the 16 gig model.
That's what I've been ballparking all week, $650.
What was the figure for the higher end 64?
Just bringing that up right
is
now.
Is it $899?
I think it's $899 was the 64. I think the 64
see, that
is actually
surprise
so,
me.
So perhaps if people were going for the higher end version, maybe up to $1,000, possibly.
I think, I reckon the $1,000's the top mark. I think
okay,
Shane
well, here's an interesting one for you.
Yeah.
Now, we all remember when the iPhone first got released. Mm. 2 months after the iPhone was released, Apple cut the cost by $200. Mm-hmm. And they offered rebates to people who were early adopters. I think they gave them a $100 gift certificate for the Apple Store or something like that. Mm. And everybody thought it kind of went, why are you dropping the price so suddenly? This thing is selling really well. But anyway, they did. Now, there is actually, with the fact that there are studies coming out saying people aren't as excited as they were hoping, there is now actually some stories coming out. Rumors are starting to surface that Apple is actually thinking about price cutting the iPad already. Mm. Now, it's interesting to note that according to this Yahoo story I read, it said that they actually have a CNET story I read, they have a 42.9% markup on this device. Now, they've got a lot of wiggle room with a 42.9% markup on this device. So there is actually rumor that there's a lot of people actually saying, don't be a bleeding edge adopter for this, because there's a very good chance that if they don't drop the price just before release, they may drop the price by up to $100 just after the release.
Look, I'm completely riding on the possibility that as someone that works in the industry, I get it for a cheaper price. If I do, I'll buy it on day one. If not, I'm one of them people that won't be riding the bleeding
edge. I'll be knocking your door on your door that day.
Here's an idea for Apple. Discuss whatever price you want to sell it for in Australia, but give us more margin to sell it a bit cheaper.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, we will. that'd be a nice thought stream, but somehow I don't.
Sidog in our chat room has said price something ridiculously and it won't sell. But the thing is, I don't think this is that ridiculously priced.
Oh no, exactly.
Most of the 10-inch netbooks that are actually on sale in retail outlets right now are the same price. Yeah,
$500 $500 ish.
Quite frankly, I've got a netbook, and I've got a fairly new netbook, and I can tell you that the netbook doesn't, its performance isn't great, you know?
Oh, well, look, dude.
It's good for what it is, but it's not,
dude,
we're not talking about.
I look at it as that thing that you've got there, that little netbook, will be completely useless once you get an iPad.
Yeah, it'll go collect dust. I actually put this in my show notes, and I never got to read it, but I guess I'll have a look right now, and basically say, is the iPad, where did I write this? I just like it. I say, is the iPad the must-have device of 2010, ushering in a new world of portable computing, or is it just another ho-hum gadget that is going to collect dust alongside the PSP Go, Apple's Newton, the scanner you were talked into buying with your computer, your VHS player, or that foot spa that you got for Christmas 5 years ago? It's like
the foot spa thing's good, yeah.
But the question is, I think it is going to be the must-have gadget of 2010. Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be a slow burn, honestly. Mm-hmm. I think day one will be bigger than, say, the PSP Go or even the PSP Slim, right? Mm-hmm. It'll outweigh all those sort of things. But I don't think it's going to be the Apple iPhone again. It's not going to be the iPhone again. It will be somewhere in between. It'll be good selling, but it won't kick off until halfway through.
So we're not going to have lines around the block, basically. We're not going to have.
I think some places might, but not. Like, I mean, think console launch. Don't think iPhone launch. Like, I mean, think lots of people buying them on day one, but not sold out for like 2 months.
Yeah.
Bad. I think.
Look, quite frankly, I think one of the biggest selling points to this, and this will wrap up after this, but I think one of the biggest selling things to this is it was never mentioned by Apple, which was the education market. Mm. Now, the first thought when you look at this machine is you go, this is a perfect textbook replacement. Textbooks are huge, they're unwieldy, they're breaking people's backs having to carry this stuff around. If you could carry one iPad that had all of your textbooks in it, that would be brilliant, right?
Can you imagine university?
This is what we're talking about. Exactly. In particular, you sit it down on your desk beside you, you've got all your textbooks right there, it's big enough that you can sit it there and read it while you're actually doing other work.
But I mean, like, I go so much further than that, and I just think $120 per textbook, mm-hmm. right? And that's at a reduced price, right? Yeah. What are they going to charge now?
Well, exactly.
What's their reasoning for having it $100?
Absolutely, they'll be able to update the books more often because it's
Can you imagine text revisions daily?
However,
if they needed to.
Downside to all this is the fact that Apple never announced anything about it. And according to the people who actually tried the iBook Store, which, by the way, we're not getting in Australia to start at launch.
To start with,
we'll be getting it later down the track. And if it's like iPhoto and the printing services, we'll get it about 3 years from now. But hopefully it'll go a bit faster than that. But anyway, the point is that they never mentioned anything. And the people who actually used the iBook Store basically said that there was a problem. You couldn't bookmark, you couldn't annotate, you couldn't...
Oh, come on, it's first draft.
No, but this is where... And that will be a big decider on education books. However, news came out this week basically saying that all the major textbooks publishers are signing with a company called Scroll Motion, who have created an app for the iPad which allows annotations and bookmarking and all sorts of other stuff that will actually make the educational sector very, very interested in the iPad. Now, if they can corner the educational market, the iPad's here to stay.
That's just so true.
No doubt about it. It's here
absolutely.
To stay. Anyway, we're going to have to wrap this up, guys. It's been a very, very fun talk. Let me tell you. I feel geek expunged.
I've been wanting to talk about that for a whole week, dude.
I know.
We kind of kept talking about it, but then we kept cutting off and going,
we'll save it for the show. All right, let's just run through the little tiny bit of housekeeping and then we'll get out of here and let everybody go on with their nights. Basically, if you agree or disagree with anything we just said, we will have
wrong.
We will have a feedback line up, which is actually geektech@geekactually.com. Hold your feedback until tomorrow, though, because it's going up tonight. By the time you listen to this podcast, it's up. You can also leave us a voicemail, as we said, at 02-801-13167. I'll bring up these things on screen for our people watching. There's our email address. We do also have a fan page. Now, the fan page is just the Geek Actually general fan page, so anything that we do, with the exception of platforms, because that's a beast all to itself. it's grown beyond its stable. Yeah. So that's got its own fan page at Platforms Live, facebook.com/PlatformsLive. But the general Geek Actually fan page is facebook.com/GeekActually. And we post up all the various articles and links to the articles and so forth from the geekactually.com site onto that page. So come and join there. Mm-hmm. You can also buy merchandise, Geek Actually t-shirts, like this lovely one right here at cafepress.com.au/geekactually. And if you do want to show us some love, you can show your support by going to the support us link on the geekactually.com site. There's a few things you can do. One thing we would really encourage you to do is take the survey. I know people don't like taking surveys, but the survey would really help us out, and it's actually for all three shows, platforms, this show, and so forth. It basically is allowing PodTrack to know the listening habits of our listeners, so that they can match us up with some advertisers, which would be lovely. Very, very, very quick shout-out to some of our friends out there. We've got the Real Junkies at WeekendRona.com, which is a movie podcast, and MovieFanHouse.com, which you will actually be able to hear me and Dave, unfortunately not Josh, because you're working.
That's right. I'll be there in spirit.
You'll be there in spirit. We're going on to the MovieFanHouse.com podcast this week, which should be kind of fun. And for our gamers out there, do listen to Platforms every Monday at 8 p.m. and watch the show at 8 p.m., I should say, and listen to it as a podcast as well. You can find that at geekactually.com/platforms, and I've already given you their fan page. Also, just because I like to support everybody, Platforms is kind of supported and helped out or in helping out other websites as well, such as GamePron.com and Oxygen.com, OXCGN.com. They got links to our site. We'll back everybody. Okay, make sure you check out our other podcast, Geek Actually, on Saturdays at 12, Platforms at 8, and I think we're going to get ourselves out of here. How can people find out more about you guys on the internet? Anything?
Just really, got to write something down on that front. Yeah, just always at the Platforms fan page on Facebook. That's where I am.
Cool.
That's me. That's
where can people find you, Shane? You got a web presence at all?
I am actually on the Platforms fan page.
Platforms page.
Facebook.
If you want to know what Platforms is all about, make sure you go and actually ask Dave. He'll tell you all about it.
Either ask Dave or go back and watch one of our old shows, and that we will tell you all about how we set that up.
Yeah, there's a long story behind that, which we won't bore you with now.
That's the problem, is it's got to the point where the story's great, but I'm just...
It just goes on for a long time.
Telling everybody that's new is just...
Also, people can find me if they're interested. If they want to game with me, I'm on PSN and Xbox Live. It's just Nexus81, capital N.
Yes, you just said
81.
Hooked me up the other day. That's pretty cool. What is that stand
it's
for?
In, but it looks backwards on the camera.
Shut up. All right, we're going to get ourselves out of here.
Move along.
So if you want to follow me, you can follow me at twitter.com/DaveMcVeigh. And just remember, we're geeks, so you don't have to be.